You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Dun, 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 dun. It is the final four.
The final.
We are here.
The final countdown.
So an actor is saying his lines, and then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Jimmy, don't cry for me.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good start.
I think, you know what's great? Dan, you know where I am, but I'll let the people know where I am. I'm in a hotel room in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
You love to see it.
Where our I don't know if anybody on the show, anybody who listens to the show knows that we went to the University of Michigan, but we...
Yeah, not sure if we've mentioned that.
Like 150 times. But I'm in a hotel room, and I'm 99% sure that every single person on the hallway just heard us singing the final countdown.
Yes.
So I apologize to
listen, if I've learned anything about hotel living, it's that they should be so lucky, right? They should be so lucky as to get to hear these shower concerts that I'm putting on in this hotel room.
You know, I was making so much noise last night because, first of all, let's tell the people what we're doing. So Dan and I are helping the University of Michigan and a bunch of universities with their digital senior showcases for their acting programs and musical theater programs. We are filming stuff and building websites and doing a bunch of stuff to help these poor seniors find agents and find managers and introduce them to the professional world. And so I'm here to help, which seems insane.
Basically, the task at hand right now is to make an 18-scene feature film in 4 days.
Yep.
In Ann Arbor. And Joe is vaxxed and laxed and ready to go.
What is laxed? And is that a laxed?
I don't know.
Is that like a...
I don't know. It was an SNL sketch last weekend with Maya Rudolph. They were like snaxed and vaxxed and I didn't even know what they were talking about. But
did you watch I think I sent you the boomers with the boomers got vaxxed SNL sketch. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Crash
so the task at hand
three whole times. Oh my God, it was so funny.
The task at hand is to try and make a 16-scene feature film in one weekend, and Joe is there to help them. And I am, you know, DPing remotely.
Yep.
So Joe's there kind of making sure Joe's gripping in person and I'm DPing remotely. And we're kind of all three of us with one of the faculty members, Joe's friend, Jeff, Packard from Bandstand. We're all three of us kind of directing this thing and then putting it together for them. And so far it's been fun, but you know, last night we had three scenes filming at the same time and Joe's like, you know, running backup phones for cameras, and it's just been crazy.
It's been crazy.
But what's it like there?
Well,
what do college towns look like?
Yeah.
In the midst of what could be wave three, but is also, or wave four. I can't keep track
the
anymore.
Wave, yeah. Wave,
but also yeah. like post-vax kind of. Because well, Michigan is also the highest rate of infection in the country right now. Did you know that?
No.
Which I assumed when they wanted us to go out there, I was like, I bet you any amount of money that there's going to be a surge. Sure enough.
Well, you listen.
The highest in number of infections is in Michigan right Great. Now. So how's it going out there?
Well, that's amazing. I actually didn't know that. But I was able to get the vaccine. So I feel safe. Jeff Packard, my other faculty cohort, has been vaccinated. So we feel okay. But you know, we got face shields and N95s, and we're spending very little time in person and no time in person with the students without masks on. But we're basically going into these locations around Ann Arbor, houses that we used to live in and party in and Carytown, Ann Arbor, and film this showcase. And so last night was super cool. I mean, these students are incredible, and a lot of this is they're doing themselves with us consulting. So we come in and we set up the shots and we set up the lighting and whatever, but then they're on their own to set up the frame and capture it and send it to us, make sure it looks good anyway. So watching them work last night was so, so cool. But this town is not the same. Like Ann Arbor is one of my favorite places on earth. And like yesterday was a Thursday. When I came in, it was like Thursday, 3-4 o'clock, and you should see students running around everywhere. And there's just right. nobody here. Like, I mean, if they are here, they're indoors and certainly not in classrooms. And so it's just like New York City in that way, where like it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. College towns are not the same right now. And that's very sad because I also haven't been back here in a long time. So I came in and I was like, hoping to have it be sort of the same. And yes, the buildings are the same, but like there's no going to Pizza House and sitting at the bar at right. Ashley's and like having,
I thought you said you were going to be licking the bar stools at Ashley's. What happened to that plan? I did.
That was just a text.
I already did that.
Oh, no, okay. I did that last night.
You already did that. Great. Nice.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you got that in.
Yeah. So
on your trip.
But last night I did feel like an absolute, I mean, you call me a boomer and, I take on that nickname, and I wear it proudly
with pride
last night. So we're working all night and then at like 10 PM, I haven't eaten anything since like noon or whatever. And so I walk over to Sava's, which is the restaurant on the corner, State and Liberty or whatever in downtown Ann Arbor. And I worked there right. for 3 years in college. And I walked in and there's this like 20-year-old behind the bar. And I was like picking up my to-go order. And I was like, oh man, this place looks great. I went to college here and I worked here for 3 years in college. And this kid was like, okay.
it's really interesting because that place was like, that place was a hole in the wall. Like diner
right.
with four stools right. in 2009. Right. And when we came 2008, 2009, when we went into school, we were the staff and we were the patrons. Like it was the musical theater yeah. program kept that place open. And then between then yeah. and when I left, it turned into yeah. an Ann Arbor staple. And we were just like, you know, another one of yep. the crowd. And now it's like, she has multiple restaurants and she's done really well, but it was interesting yeah. to watch
and
that.
That's how I met Darren Criss. Darren Criss and I played music.
Not a big
we
deal.
Played, like acoustic covers.
Not a big deal.
Voice
guest host Darren Criss.
Yeah, we need to
get him on.
We'll
here.
Get him on here eventually. We'll get him yeah. on here eventually.
You keep waving that flag in front of my face. I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
Well, I keep waving it? Maybe. Yeah, we haven't actually waved it in a while.
We got some big guests coming. So maybe that'll draw some attention.
I cannot wait to talk about
that.
The person that we have coming on in a couple weeks. We got an email from one of
the top three on my list.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's not Hugh Jackman. Yeah. That's coming. It's not him.
Yeah.
But like, if I could have named another three in the Broadway space, this person's on that list, and we get an email from that person's representative asking if they can come on the show. We've made it.
Yes. Oh, it's it was unbelievable. And so, and actually this could be cool if people wanted to like send us a DM on Instagram to guess who it is, because we have talked about this person a lot, and we had actually talked about this person recently, and literally right after we got done with an episode talking about this person, this person's representative reached out to us and we freaked out. So that's going to be super cool. Anyway, Sava's Ann Arbor. It's not the same. It's amazing.
I was going to ask you another question about if you, Cuomo announced today that the live entertainment venues can reopen. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah. Live entertainment venues as of April 2nd can reopen at 33% capacity, up to 100 people indoors. Just, you know, 100 people paying $440 to see Hamilton. Just the standard, you know, ticket price.
So 100 people total, 100 people. Or 33%, or whatever comes first?
Up to 100 people.
Up to 100 people.
And
got
up
it.
To 200 people outdoors. If all attendees present proof of negative test prior to entry, capacity can increase to 150 people indoors and up to 500 people outdoors. Social distancing and face covering is required.
Yep.
What do we think?
Let's go.
I mean, I think if we're vaxxed,
I'm first.
I think if
in
we're
line.
Vaxxed, I'm laxed and ready to go. You know, I'm ready.
Yes. Well, listen, I mean, the testing and masks and the distancing, that shit works.
And you've worked
in.
On sets and stuff too, right? So like, you know, you felt pretty safe on set last week.
Yeah, extremely. Because you know that everybody around you has the negative test.
Right.
So I've done a couple TV shows. I was lucky enough to do two guest stars during the pandemic. And
not a big deal.
You get tested every other day. Not a big deal. Everybody's getting tested every other day or every day. And so, you know that when you show up on set, everybody's still masked, everybody's still wearing face shields and everything. But you know that when you show up, that everybody's safe. This is the thing that like just makes me, I'm so excited about this. I think it's let's do it. Let's go. They're doing it in Australia. They're doing it in Japan.
Yeah.
They're doing it in South Korea. Let's go. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely ready. I mean, this is the thing though. This is the problem though. It's like, you know, Americans don't want to follow rules. It's just that individualism thing. Rah, 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 rah. So it's like, no, if you want to go see some live entertainment, put on your freaking mask and go get tested.
Right. And then you can do whatever you want.
Doesn't seem to be that. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Get the vaccine. So.
Yeah. Well, I got my first little zonk yesterday, so I'm feeling pretty good. Very happy about that.
Yeah. The first poke.
First stab.
First
I am
stab.
Halfway to 5G, as you will.
I was texting my in-laws about that. We all like, because they're all getting it in Ohio, and my sister-in-law said, she said something about like, you know, like I got that microchip, and I responded, and I said, we all got that 5G blood now.
Amazing.
God, people are ridiculous. But go get your vaccines. Let's go. Let's get it back. It's close. We can taste it.
Yeah. So close, and I'm ready.
You know,
and the people are ready, and you're ready, and I'm ready to fight about musicals.
Honestly, let's fight about it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so we got nobody else this week. It's just us yelling about the Final Four.
That's correct.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right, let's argue about some musicals. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this March Madness ridiculousness. Here we go.
Okay.
So in the Final Four, coming out of Rent was in the pop rock.
Let's start
category.
On the other side of the country. Okay. Let's start in the other region.
Okay. All right.
We got Fiddler on the Roof up against West Side Story. Absolute iconic. No. Musicals.
Icons. It's kind of like, this is bad. This is a bad sports reference. No, I'm not even going to say it because it's so stupid. You're going to make fun of me. But like now I have to. Almost than like a LeBron, Steph Curry kind of matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Or something of the like.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddler versus West Side Story. I mean, I've said this week after week that Fiddler is still... Do you know that Fiddler on the Roof was my the project I had? That was my freshman year musical theater project. We had at school we had to do these big 40-page papers about a musical, and Fiddler on the Roof was mine. And I wish I remembered more of the like actual facts about it, but I still feel like we can't overlook the impact that it had on every show that we know now. It's structurally perfect. It's been redone time after time after time. We talked about Hamilton. We've talked about the opening of In the Heights. I mean, any musical that you can think of, just think about Tradition. Everybody knows Tradition, where you introduce all of the different characters, all of the different people, all of their conflict, and all of the things that are in juxtaposition to everybody else and what they're trying to do for the next 2.5 to 3 hours is spelled out for you in the first 5 minutes of the show. You know exactly what you're seeing. It is so dark and such a story of literal genocide, and it's hysterical and moving and all about change. I don't know. For me, that's my Fiddler. That's Fiddler for me.
Fiddler on the Roof opened in 1964, ran for 3,000 performances, was the first show to ever do that.
Run for 3,000 performances.
That's correct. To surpass 3,000 performances. It held the title for the longest running Broadway musical for 10 years.
Wow.
So like, and you remember when we talked about West Side Story, that West Side was a flop effectively, ran for 732 performances by comparison, right? West Side Story, the film, the winningest movie musical of all time.
So what? It's almost like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about West Side? West Side on stage?
I mean, because we're not talking about productions necessarily. We're talking about like show. It's really, this is a popularity contest, a cultural popularity contest about, you know. But this week I was on a kick of I watched a lot of the, you know, right up to the end for when we have to do the SAG award votes. I'm watching every movie that I should have been watching for the last 8 months.
Same.
I was instead watching reality TV, I should have been watching these movies. I watched them all like in one weekend.
Yep.
And I loved a lot of movies. Minari was amazing.
Oh,
and
man.
The Five Bloods. And then I watched Borat.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of recover from some of those other darker ones.
Yeah.
And then I watched Trial of Chicago 7,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't think I was going to enjoy, but why did I think that? It's fucking Aaron Sorkin's a genius. And like,
it's
so good how he's able to take what should be journalism and make it dramatic. That thing that we've talked about a bunch that he talks about in his masterclass about what it means for something to be considered drama. He's so fucking good. But I got on a Sacha Baron Cohen kick. And Sacha Baron Cohen said that one of his biggest influences in his career is Fiddler on the Roof.
Really?
Yeah. He said, when I was in university, I was, I fell in love with shows like Cyrano de Bergerac and Fiddler on the Roof that have this, like, that's a pretty good impression. I don't know where that came from.
Way better than I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
Because he is like an extremely eloquent Brit who like does the crazy Borat, you know, Ali G stuff. But like you listen to him talk and he is like one of the smartest men.
Well, and
the
he
planet.
Can do everything too.
Yeah.
This, I was watching a Hollywood Reporter roundtable and it was him. God, who was in that category? It was him and was it the comedy one? I think it was the comedy one. And it was him and like Don Cheadle and Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler and just absolute icons. There's an older actor in there, I think, too. Oh,
yeah, Jim Carrey.
Ted Danson.
Henry Winkler. Is it that one?
Henry Winkler and Ted Danson.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about comedy. And it's a really great interview. And he talks about this genre that Fiddler on the Roof exists in, which is what he calls comedy tragedy. There's got to be a better title for it, but it's like where the first half of the show is roll on the floor funny, and they hook you with how funny the character is, and then they rip your heart out. And he said that like that's what all of his movies are about. All of his movies are like, let's expose the comedy of this joke past being funny to being tragedy.
Right.
And that's what all of these movies kind of follow that form. And he tells a lot of really cool stories about like how he was almost killed, how he was almost arrested by the Secret Service, all of these things he's done in his career to like expose the truths of racism in America and, you know, the cultural, norms that we don't really pay attention to because we are used to them. And as an outsider, he's so able to like identify what's going on. But that was something that that really stuck with me because, you know, he identifies a musical as like a genre form, up with like Cyrano de Bergerac. One of the classic plays of all time. And then you start thinking like, well, what other musical can you point to that has that level of cultural relevance in drama? I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't, I would argue that back to that, first of all, that's all incredible. And I think that West Side, people point to West Side for vastly different reasons.
Exactly.
Pushing, you know, dance as the primary storyteller.
Right.
You know, pushing drama forward. Taking one of the most iconic plays of all time and musicalizing it in a way that is basically, it's like loosely based on Romeo and Juliet in a way. It's, you know, I mean,
Leonard Bernstein,
I just, with Fiddler in particular, like, it's tricky then, too, because for me, the film of Fiddler on the Roof, like, I remember watching, when I played Tevye in high school, as I've mentioned, watching the movie of Fiddler on the Roof, I was like, I don't get it. Doing it as a 16-year-old, what do 16-year-olds know? I mean, sorry, not to alienate any of our 16-year-old listeners, but it's like, I was like, I don't totally get it. I did the play, I did the report, freshman year of college, okay. And then I saw Danny Burstein do it, and I was like, I completely understand. I saw every musical that I've ever seen flash before my eyes in that way. That you said, Dan, where it's like they rope you in with the comedy and then they hit you with just like they just break your heart for like the entire second act. And then I think with West Side, the choreography is iconic. The music is iconic. The movie is fantastic. But for me, I mean, I don't know.
Hold on, before you pick.
Okay.
We should talk about the Fiddler film too, because this is another place where they go at it side by side, right? Mm-hmm. Fiddler on the Roof film comes out in 1971, starring Topol, and becomes the highest grossing film of that year, receives 8 Academy Award nominations, and including Best Picture. And it wins only 3.
Mm.
And it also wins Best Score for The Arranger Conductor. Do you know who that might be?
The Arranger Conductor of the Fiddler on the...
He is very famous for 2 classic film franchises in the last 30 years.
All right. So what year was it again? Because I think the person 71. I'm gonna guess...
I think the person that you're going to guess is the correct answer. You're just not going to think that he's been working for 50 years, but he has.
I want to say Paul Gemignani.
No.
Okay.
No, it's a film composer.
Okay.
John Williams.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. John Williams won an Oscar for the best score/adaptation for Arranger Conductor.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And West Side Story film was nominated for 10. It was nominated for 11 Academy Awards and won 10. 10 years prior in 1961. Yeah. And it's still the winningest of all time. And so, you know, you gotta think that that's gotta have something to play here. We got the results from the fans, and the fans have decided West Side Story.
West Side Story. I think that might have to do...
365 to 205. It's a blowout.
Yeah, it's a blowout. Now, I will say, I was going to pick Fiddler based on cultural, historical, and musical theater significance.
Yeah.
I enjoy West Side Story more. Like, I enjoy the show. I like sitting there watching it. I remember watching Karen Olivo and in that revival and the most recent revival, which I have, you know, I know a lot of people have issues with. We talked about this a little bit, but somebody wrote an article about the issue with making the Sharks and the Jets all people of color. Did you read this article?
Where it's that just misses the whole point. Because originally what they wanted to make the show about was black versus white, and the producers were scared, so they changed it.
Yeah, and made a Puerto Rican versus white, and now it's just black and brown people versus black and brown people,
right?
And like, just
now it's just a representation of like gang culture in America, right? And it's not like what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And just keeping that narrative. Yeah, it was just like, so that's my biggest issue with the most current revival. But and I didn't come up, that was not an original thought. Somebody wrote that, I read that, and I was like, oh my god, of course.
Yeah.
You know, that's so freaking true. But also that revival, I mean, again, we see that like there's the revivals that are happening also lead people to pick the shows that they're going to pick. I mean, a lot of people, that's a super young cast. I mean, that was one of the things that was cool about it, I guess. You know, it's just extremely young. It's extremely, it is extremely diverse, but it just, I think that the storytelling just misses the mark, you know?
Yeah, you make choices. Like I was talking about this on, I was a guest on Carson's podcast this week, and we talked about movie musicals, which is where a lot of this Academy Award stuff comes in. He was asking me if I knew about, you know, what's the winningest movie musicals. We ended up talking about both of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about that thing that Mark Platt says, where if you're going to re-dramatize something, take it from screen and put it on stage, or take something from book and put it on stage or on screen, or vice versa, back and forth, which they do all the time, you need to make choices that change our perception of the piece based on the medium and based on the time.
Right.
So you can't just turn Hamilton into the Hamilton film. You need to re-dramatize it to make the story different. You know, you can't just, that was what he was saying about Wicked. Everybody was like, when are you going to make the Wicked movie? And he's like, look, you have to take the stage musical and elevate it. You can't just recreate it. That's why so many movie musicals on stage have not worked. Mm-hmm. You can't just take Pretty Woman and put it on stage. You need to remind us why it has to be on stage.
Right.
And then that new medium can hold its own, as opposed to being something that is just kind of an homage to the other form, you know?
And that was why I remember, and I was young. I mean, I was young when I saw the Fiddler movie, but Fiddler is so funny. And the movie, there is not funny. There's no audience response. I mean, Tevye is speaking to these people, to you, and making you a part of his journey and making you laugh. And like, you know, Topol, do you know what that joke is from? That's from Notting Hill. That's, you know, my favorite rom-com. So Topol.
Good
anyway,
God.
We're moving right along past that. We miss so much of the comedy of it. And then you see it on stage and it's just so freaking funny.
Yeah.
So I think
it changes because like when you, it's the same thing with watching comedy. If you were to watch a stand-up special that didn't have audience laugh, it would be so awkward.
100%. 100%. You know, and Tevye does all the milk cow stuff and the whole, like, you know, the whole scene with Laser Wolf. And he's like, you know, and looking at the audience and the audience, Danny Burstein just like shoots a look to the audience and 2,000 people at the Broadway theater start cracking up.
Right.
How that experience is, that's why it's meant to be seen. You know, it's like, it's like plays are not meant to be read. Plays are meant to be heard. Plays are meant to be seen.
Right.
And so that's one of those, anyway, that's a whole nother tangent.
It's not literature.
You know, it's not literature. So West Side Story, the fans
West Side Story in the final.
Yeah, in the final.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
On the other side of the world, Hamilton versus Rent.
All right, Hamilton. So I guess, first of all, we got to talk about the totals. We got to talk about
that's last.
No. But just how close it was, just like how unbelievably close this
was.
Let's
just say, prep yourself for a buzzer beater.
Yes. A quite literal buzzer beater.
That's right.
So Dan, why don't you go first? What do you think? What was your initial feeling about this matchup?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about just like the history here while we kind of compare these two things together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Hamilton wins like, you know, everything it can possibly win.
Is it 11? How many did it win?
11 trophies with six more nominations.
16 like nominations in 13
absolutely
categories.
Absolutely insane. you know, you got David Diggs against Jonathan Groff and Chris Jackson in the same category. David Diggs wins, you know?
Yeah.
Just crazy. David Corns did not win. And Lin-Manuel obviously lost to Leslie Odom Jr. in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
So like just absolute craziness. They win all of the other awards that year, the Drama League and, you know, Lucille Lortel and all those other awards that we pay attention to. Obviously, Hamilton's still running with no end in sight. Rent won 4 Tonys, best musical, best book, best score, and Best Performance by a Featured Actress for Wilson Germain Heredia, who played Angel. Rent runs for, I saw the closing cast with Adam Pascal and Adam and Anthony Rapp.
Whoa.
When they came back at the very end.
Whoa.
It ran until 2008.
5,000 performances.
And the Broadway production grossed $280 million. Well, Hamilton made $280 million in the first year. So that'll show you how much Broadway has changed. Isn't that crazy?
Hashtag inflation.
No, hashtag like big money Broadway. Like we are in the studio equivalent of Broadway.
Right.
That is the time we live in now. And you know, Rent was the little show that could. Started at the New York Theater Workshop in 93. And then it played there off Broadway, and Jonathan Larson died the night before the off Broadway premiere.
Mm.
So they'd had this like workshop production. They'd, you know, Carson said it was the show that wasn't noted, which is sort of true.
Right.
But like, think of the changes that happen traditionally between an off-Broadway transfer to Broadway. That didn't really happen with Hamilton. There weren't a lot of big major reworks that happened.
Right.
But there could have been. There could have been.
Right.
And this, like, Rent could have had those opportunities to change and to move. And obviously Rent paves the way for what we've seen in Broadway for the next 20 years, up until today. You know, so many of these shows don't exist without Rent, Next to Normal, Spring Awakening, some of the other shows we've spoken about in this category.
Yeah.
Up against Hamilton, which has become, you know, a worldwide cultural phenomenon and has incorporated probably arguably the first time that hip hop has been successfully incorporated into a musical and done as well as it did. Not the first, but definitely one of the more successful times. You know, was a hit from the very beginning, and you know, we've been paying attention to it since Lynn performed at the White House in 2006 or whatever it was. Shows are still running. It's got three tours and a sit down in LA coming out of the pandemic, starring Taylor Jones, friend of the pod, and there's just a lot, you know.
I think what's cool about this matchup is the sort of iconic nature of both of these shows. Like, you know, Rent was the Hamilton of its era, you know, of the 90s, the sort of like late 90s, mid to late 90s, and then and obviously through, you know, through the early 2000s, and just like that was a revolution too. I mean, I remember seeing the Non-Equity tour in Grand Rapids in like 2004, 2005. And this was one of these massive, like the DeVos Performance Hall in Grand Rapids holds like 3,000 people, standing room only.
Yeah.
People like it was the coolest thing. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in person, because I'm sitting next to 3,000 people screaming. Like it's still iconic. It changed the face of musical theater. It made, you know, it made tough topics. I mean, it's a show about the heroin addicts and AIDS and all of me. Like,
right.
We were
still afraid to talk about that stuff at that time.
Yes.
We don't know that. Like, our generation doesn't realize that up until the mid 2000s, we didn't face what happened in the 80s and how many people were unnecessarily lost because the government turned their head and just kind of let this happen, you know?
Right.
And if that were to happen today, people would have something to say. And the internet is a place where that would not go unrecognized.
Right.
And Rent was kind of talking fight to power, you know?
Yeah. And also I'm just thinking of this, like, I don't know if this is right, but I'll say it anyway, that it's like, they made a musical. It's like making a musical about the coronavirus right after the coronavirus, right at like, as the peak starts to go down, like on the backside of the curve, like people were still dying from AIDS.
Yep.
The height of the AIDS pandemic was was slightly, the bell curve was slightly going down, but everybody in New York City knew somebody who had died from AIDS. An entire generation of artists was wiped out. And then this show comes out.
Right.
So it's like the fact that, because what we want the producers after 9/11, like the reason the producers was so successful was because it came, because of people wanting to go to the theater and escape and laugh and, you know, that this show was as iconic and as celebrated as it was, given the fact that you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. That is just like,
it spoke, you know, it gave a heart and a face
right
to this moment that went unnoticed by too many people.
Right, right. It was
because
just
it was taboo.
It was just correct. The gay community. It was just right. New York, blah, 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 blah.
If the coronavirus had actually only affected, you know, Asian people.
Right.
And we just let it happen.
Right, right.
That's what was going on. And no one was afraid. No one was willing to face that and kind of humanize it and talk about it. And Jonathan Larson was like, this is my opportunity. And, you know, I would have loved to see all of the other things that he would have done, and we lost him too soon. Somebody in the DMs said that I love Hamilton and I love everything that Hamilton has done, but Rent gave a voice to theater people before that, during a time when that wasn't cool anymore at all.
Right.
It gave us theater kids a reason to feel cool and to sing along. And while I hear that, I think that Hamilton gives a voice to everybody, to the every mm-hmm. person, every people
right.
that makes Broadway cool. And that's why I think Hamilton, like, you know, there are these shows that have really spoken to theater kids in the last few years that have fallen to the wayside. And I still think that those shows are amazing works that deserve to be celebrated. But this idea that, like, I really hang my hat on the future of Broadway needing to look more like Hamilton than it does Rent. It's
totally,
and that's kind of neither here nor there.
Well, because I wouldn't even say more like I think both of those shows are incredibly representative.
You're right.
But it is to say that like Broadway should look more like Hamilton and less like Bye Bye Birdie or some shit, you know, like, like, which it obviously is, but you know, we have a pretty white revival of Music Man coming up.
Correct.
Know?
Correct.
So, I think it's also interesting to just mention Jeffrey Seller and mention the downtown theater, like New York Theater Workshop produced Rent. The Public produced Hamilton, which is different. I mean, everybody knew Hamilton was going to be huge. Like, the Public Theater is making they're.
And Rent is the little engine that could.
Right.
And Hamilton was like, it was like a Marvel movie, basically.
Everybody, I remember hearing things when that show came out, like everybody wanted to invest in it, you know, because I sort of know some of these co-producers in New York now because of The Woodsman. And so they were like trying to get their money into Hamilton. Everybody wanted to get their money into Hamilton. And there was a few people who are like, you know, close friends with somebody who got to throw their $25,000 into Hamilton, and you know, but Hamilton didn't need it. You know, it was like one of those, like they got to invest and now they're just like, you know, set for life. But Jeffrey Seller, the executive producer of Rent, also the executive producer of Hamilton, among other things, he is a U of M grad, which is kind of cool, but yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We're getting down to the end, and I didn't want Hamilton to get to this point. I don't want to say I'm anti-Hamilton, because I'm certainly not, but it's just, it's an amazing show. And like you said, Dan, I think even if it was, the fact that it's given a voice and a face and a popularity to this art form for people who don't see themselves represented in The Music Man, I think is just
something
amazing
that we can't overlook.
Never.
It's like that thing that came out, the study that came out that said that there's billions of dollars sitting on the table because Black and Brown people are not represented enough in Hollywood.
Right.
That if we were to incorporate those stories and voices into it more, it would increase the overall economic impact of stories in Hollywood. The same thing is definitely true, as proven by Hamilton. If we need, if we incorporate more voices and stories onto the stage, you know, and the other one that needs to be discussed is Asian voices. There's a huge underrepresentation of Asian voices on screen and on stage. If you look at the representation of like Asian men, it's scary.
Right.
It's not acceptable. So there's a lot of work still to be done. And I think that there are, obviously I've already discussed all of the things I have, the issues that there are with Hamilton as like, you know, it's not necessarily giving back to the communities that it's representing.
Right.
You know, it's whose pockets is it actually filling?
Exactly.
There's an issue there for sure. There's a huge issue in Broadway in general, the fact that four families run the whole business. It's like the most mafia-centric thing that there could be. It looks just like it did when in the golden age of studios in Hollywood. It's four, you know, four studios that decide everything that happens and who gets to be on stage and why and for
what
how long.
Stories
and
get to be told.
And, kicks people out when they choose and makes deals with the producers that they want to. It's a huge problem. But I think Hamilton is at least pushing us in the direction of having these conversations among larger groups of people who actually buy tickets.
Yeah.
Because as long as the largest ticket buyers are white women 65 plus, which is right now it's like 49% of ticket sales are white women over 65. As long as that's true, nothing's going to change.
Right. Right. Right.
So we need to chicken or the egg, figure out what the hell we have to do and flip the script a little bit. So 100%. enough of us pontificating about, I said, we're going to keep this tight 46 minutes.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, this is the thing that now we get to, so we're in the final. We've pontificated enough.
Hamilton versus Rent.
Hamilton versus Rent.
Just doing this math in my head, just really fast.
Yeah.
With 783 total votes.
Come on. We're
absolutely unbelievable. 783 total votes.
I can't believe it.
By you all who listen to this show.
That's not.
And follow us on Instagram.
It's 700. What was 783?
Yeah.
783 people who not only voted, but also listened to the show.
Right.
Like, this is. That's so freaking cool. I'm just like.
I remember when we had 12 listeners.
That's so freaking cool. Yes, exactly.
You know?
And it was you and me on multiple devices and our moms on multiple devices.
And our moms.
That's how this started. Yes.
And your sister.
My sister doesn't listen to this.
Only the first episode, bro.
Yeah, she listened to the first episode. Okay, sorry.
Because it was Alex.
Right.
783 votes in an absolute nail biter by 1 point.
Literally.
One vote.
392.
We have Rent over Hamilton, 392 to 391.
Wow. 392 to 391, Rent over Hamilton. And that to me, it speaks volumes just based on like what the generation that listens to us and votes on Instagram, how they view Rent. They've never seen Rent on stage, probably. You know, like
maybe there was a
non-equity tour that went out a couple years ago, but like they know it based on YouTube, based on old cast recordings, based on the history. Like, there's no Disney Plus version of Rent. There's a mediocre movie.
Well, you can find like the bootlegs of like the Will Chase archival. That's a good one. There's some pretty good archivals, and there's the movie, and then there's Rent Live, Joe. You cannot forget Rent Live, Joe.
I mean, this is true. This is true.
Anyway.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I think this is crazy. So
it's
Rent.
Crazy. Yep.
Versus.
Rent versus West Side Story.
I've said everything that I can say about both of these shows, and I think it's got to be Rent. For me, for my life, for musical theater, for the reason that I got into this nonsense in the first place, I wore out that cast album in my 1998 black Jeep Cherokee, blasting it, coming rolling into the high school, blasting Rent, and then turning it down very quickly because I was like, wait, this is uncool to do in West Michigan. Yeah, man. I just
Two of the greatest love stories ever told.
Yeah.
I don't think we should. I don't think we should decide.
You know what? I think we should
let the people vote.
Oh, let the people. Okay, cool. Cool. I think I like that. I like that. And then we'll drop it in next week.
Yeah, Rent, I think we can just announce it. We can announce it like late next week. You know, get your votes in.
Love it. The greatest musical of all time, 2021 edition. And we'll see you next year for another greatest musical of all time.
And we choose the teams that are playing. We choose the shows.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I think this is great. Holy cow. This has been really fun. This has been a really fun couple weeks.
I agree.
It's been a really fun couple weeks.
I think for me, it's hard. For me, it's hard. Because they're just so different.
Yeah.
You know, we'd never seen Danger and Violence on the stage the way that we did in West Side Story. We'd never seen love and all different shapes and sizes and colors of love on stage like we did in Rent.
Yeah.
And Tragedy as well.
West Side Story made me feel like I could dance. Guys up there
for sure
dancing for like sure. Masculine, angry, just an absolutely iconic score. Some of the greatest songs ever written.
One of the greatest, you know, teams.
Yep.
Really early Stephen Sondheim.
Yep. Stephen Sondheim on the words.
Right.
Like just on the words. We forget. Yep. I mean, I don't forget. I don't forget, but people
five times a week when I'm singing Something's Coming, I don't forget that Stephen Sondheim wrote those words. This is a tough one. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. I know what they're going to choose, but
I just love this.
Maybe we'll just hit them with some facts. We'll hit them with some history. We'll hit them with some statistics and some stuff about where they're at and this is really fun.
It's really fun to be talking about this from Ann Arbor, but it's also very sad because Michigan lost in the Elite Eight. But this is
what's the Elite Eight? What is that?
Shut up.
Oh, you're talking about sports ball.
I'm talking about sports ball. So Michigan actually lost. But this is the That was a sad game.
By one basket. Just like Hamilton.
Oh, look what he did.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Like musicals. We got a lot of really fun guests on the horizon. A lot of big things, a lot of big things in store.
Holy shit. Thank you for voting. This has been so the outreach, the participation, the engagement on the last few weeks has been super inspiring. So thank you. Thank you for doing it. Sweet.
We'll see you next week. Joseph.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Don't mess it up for us this weekend, okay? Make sure you plug the microphones in properly.
I'm not doing that.
Thank you for listening to Guys Who Like Musicals. We are now part of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Woo!
We are hosted by Dan Tracy.
That's you.
And Joe Carroll.
That's me.
We're produced by Ryan Kincaid, and Matthew Mucha is the social content manager.
You can find us on Instagram at Guys Who Like Musicals, on Twitter at Musical Guys, or the old-fashioned way at www.guyswholikemusicals.com.
If you'd like a chance to be featured on the Ask the Guys segment of our show, please call 203-900-7990 and leave a message with your question. As always, thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.